Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Obsidian Achievement. This is your host, Michael Russin. Thank you for joining me, and welcome back. Happy Tuesday. I am 41 hours into a 72-hour fast, so I've made it over the halfway point, and I'm telling you what, right now, I feel so good. I'm so sharp mentally. I feel like my vision is a little bit better. My cognition is I'm just much sharper. Now, I'm going to tell you, the first day was rough. I started 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, Easter. I stuffed my face with steak and duck and all kinds of other goodies. I ate like crap on Sunday. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this fast. Why don't I just make it? Why don't I just undo any future progress here? What are you, lifesavers, gummies, all kinds of stuff. And so 7:30 p.m., I started the clock Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning, and I was feeling pretty good, you know, a little rumbly in the tumbly, so I jumped in my cold plunge. I get out of my cold plunge, and, like, it gets closer to 9 o'clock, and by this point, I've had 1,800 calories, at least. I'm, like, 5,000 calories a day. See, if you don't eat a lot, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do it fast, it's probably pretty difficult, but it can't be as difficult as somebody that's used to eating 5,000 calories a day. So right around 9:30, my body was like, hey, bro, hey, big guy, what are we doing here? are we in a survival situation? What's going on? And I'm like, no, shut up, we're fine. This is me talking to me. So 9:30 goes by, 10:30, 11:30, I had a couple meetings, and then I'm like, dude, I'm sitting there, it's like 12 o'clock. I'm like, oh, dude, this sucks ass. I'm not having a good time right now. You know, I'm starting to have the quitting conversation with myself. Ah, maybe I'll just do it next week. You know, I'm just coming up with all these excuses, right? And so I'm like, all right, I got to do something. So I took my daughter to this play space. We have a membership, and it's in Scarborough, I think. And it's a really cool little spot. They just have toys and, like, little jungle gyms and all this stuff. It's indoors. It's really, really cool. So I took her there for about an hour because they closed at 2 o'clock. It's about 30 minutes away. So 30 minutes there, had her there for an hour, 30 minutes back. So I get home. It's like 2:30. And I'm like, dude, what do I do? You know what I mean? So I go inside and I lay down because now I'm starting to feel fatigued and I'm laying in bed and my stomach's rumbling. So I'm like, I'm trying to take a little break from social media, at least cut back on it big time. But I want to keep people updated on this, you know, because I've had a lot of people ask me, oh, dude, depending on how yours goes, I'm going to do one. So I'm laying there in bed and I start scrolling through social media and all I see are posts of food. People just posted what they're eating. I'm like, dude, what the hell? So then it really starts getting tough. Right around 3-4 o'clock, I'm like, dude, this isn't good. So I go outside and I just get barefoot and I start walking up and down our road. We got a private road. It's all dirt. So it feels pretty good on your bare feet, even when it's a little cold. So I went up, I started walking down, up and down the street, up and down the street, up and down the street. And I was feeling much better after I did that. Feeling much, much better after I did that. And so I went back inside, I sat there, now it's dinner time, so I'm helping, you know, the wife and the kids, get them all ready for dinner, feeding this one, feeding that one, and I'm like, oh, dude, I can't just sit here. So I grabbed a book, and I went back outside, and I'm reading. I started a fire, I'm reading by the fire, and then I'm not thinking, well, here's the thing, I grabbed the book to read by the fire, and I threw the book in the fire with the cardboard that I was going to burn. So I burned my book, unintentionally. I put it up in my armpit and I grab all this cardboard from inside of the house to start the fire. And I go out and I must have just taken it out of my armpit, thrown it right in with the cardboard and lit that shit on fire. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, where's my book? So I go back inside, I'm looking all over the place for my book. I can't find my book. I'm like, oh, dude, I think I just burned my book. So I grabbed another book and I sat out there and I read for a little bit. I came back inside and now it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm like, okay, boom, I hit the first 24 hours. And once you hit the first 24 hours, you're like, I can do this. I can do this. I made it. So I went to bed around 8. Babies woke up around 9. One of the babies woke up around 9. And so, you know, the wife's breastfeeding, there's nothing I can do to help. So I went down into the den to sleep. I slept from like 8 till, or 9 till like 3. I woke up at 3. I fell back asleep around 4:30. I woke up wide awake at 4:30. I'm like, dude, I don't want to wake my wife up. I don't want to wake the kids up. They're sleeping. So I read for about an hour. Then I got up around 5:30, hit my cold plunge. Boom, had a bunch of electrolyte water and a little bit of black coffee. They said you could have coffee, so I had a little bit of black coffee today. Yesterday I didn't have any coffee. So I had a little bit of black coffee and spent the morning with the kids, made the wife a protein pancake, helped feed Ellie while Ada ate, and now I'm on my, the nanny showed up, and now I'm on my way to the gym. And I'm feeling much better. Feeling much better today. Once you get past the first day, dude, it's easy. It's not easy. Like, I'm still starving right now. My body's still screaming for food right now. But it's mentally, it's a lot easier today than it was yesterday. If you could get past that first day, because I was telling my nanny I was on a fast, and she's like, oh, I know a lot of people that have tried to start it and they can't finish it. Like, dude, just get past the first day. You can get past day one, you're fine. You know what I mean? And a lot of people get to day three and they go to 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, I was reading, I was doing a lot of reading and research yesterday just to encourage myself. I was doing something good for my body. And a lot, there's just, it's so good for you in so many different ways. I mean, the comments in some of these YouTube videos of people talking about how it cured fasting, cured autoimmune disorders, cured cancer, you know what I mean? It's pretty incredible stuff, man. So I definitely a big fan of it so far. I can tell the inflammation in my body's way down. My wedding ring's not tight on my finger. My feet, you can see all the veins in my feet, my ankles. But more importantly, I'm not doing this for the physical effects. I'm doing this for the spiritual effects. Yesterday, I spent a considerable amount of time in prayer. I spent a considerable amount of time in the Word of God. That's what I read this morning. I spent all morning poring over the Psalms, just two Psalms specifically that I'm trying to memorize, Psalm 19 and Psalm 23. And I'm doing this primarily, entirely for spiritual reasons. The physical effects are just, you know, and it's so interesting, the things that the Bible tells us to do, how good they are for us, but they're difficult. Now, circumcision, I don't believe is necessary anymore, at all, like fleshly circumcision, but it's interesting how the Bible knew. Now, here's what's cool. The Bible in the Old Testament, it said that you can't circumcise a boy until 8 weeks, or eight days, sorry, after the eighth day, or on the eighth day. And what's crazy is your body, as a newborn, doesn't start producing its own vitamin K, which helps with blood clotting, until the eighth day you're alive. And somehow, they knew how to do this, and then they knew to only do it on the eighth day in the Old Testament thousands of years ago. Isn't that crazy? It's like, you know God's real. You know He's real. When you start reading, and then there's all kinds of other health tips in the Bible in the Old Testament that people just glaze over. They don't realize set the foundation for a lot of the health protocols we have now. It's crazy, but that's the wildest one to me, is that God said, do not circumcise your boys until the eighth day. And that's the day your body starts producing its own vitamin K supply, which assists with blood clotting. Isn't that crazy? So fasting, we're called to fast. It doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. And why do we fast as Christians? Why do we fast? We fast because it brings the flesh under subjugation. It's a war with the flesh. And if you cannot eat, which is one of the more primal carnal urges that we have, you should be able to control most other primal carnal urges. I think fasting is a key element in controlling sexual urges as well. I think what most people battle with, especially men, are sexual urges. Whether it's pornography, whether it's just having sex out of wedlock, maybe it's all kinds of stuff. Men are naturally highly sexual creatures, and so women are too, just in a different way. And I think that fasting is a key way to bring your flesh under control. I mean, obviously, it's going to help you with gluttony. You know what I mean? I feel like fasting is the best way to overcome the seven deadly sins. You know what I mean? I really do. So I've been taking this time and spending much more time with God and praying for strength and praying for control of my flesh and my urges. And just a cool side effect is that there's all kinds of physical benefits to it as well. So I really encourage you, even if you don't want to do a 72, do a 48-hour. There's a bunch of benefits to 48 hours, but 72 hours is really where you get this, you get a lot of benefits. You know, you start running in, you start ketosis. Your body starts running off of glycogen and then off of its own fat stores. So you start burning fat. It starts on autophagy, which is basically a cellular repair process where old broken cells are replaced by new healthy ones. There's just so many benefits that you could read into when it comes to fasting. And every culture, nearly every culture across human history has practiced fasting. And I think there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for that. And there are people that are out there doing 40-day fast. I've got a friend, his name's Joe. I think he's on day 10 or something like that, which is crazy. So, if some people could do 40 days, why can't you do 3? Why can't you do 3? Number one, primarily for the spiritual effects that you're going to have, are they top the list. Okay, which is not using turning signals this morning, champ. The physical effects are obviously at the top of the, or the spiritual effects are obviously at the top of the list. I think should be your primary focus, but there's also wonderfully amazing physical effects as well. So fasting, I highly encourage it. A couple tips, just things I've learned. There are some fasts that you say you could do some bone broth. I made some bone broth. I had a little bit and then I stopped. Because the more that I... So like Gary Brecka and Joe Rogan do bone broth fast. I was reading that the fat in the bone broth will actually stop the autophagy process. So I'm not having any bone broth with this fast. I made a bunch and I'm gonna store it for when I'm done with this fast. I'm gonna break my fast with some bone broth and probably eggs. You know, I'm going to try not to go crazy, but I'm definitely going to have some eggs and some bone broth, and then I'm going to move back into my normal eating protocol. But I think I'm going to probably switch my diet too. It's funny. I think Andrew Tate's onto something. I think he's onto something. So Andrew Tate eats one meal in the evening and that's it. And you look at his physique, he's got a stellar physique. He's an athlete. A world champion kickboxer. I know he's a little goofy. He's got some wild ideas, but I think he's hilarious. If you can't see that he's just a comedian, I don't know what to tell you. But this dude lives off of nicotine and cigars. You know what I mean? It has one meal a day. And I remember I did this about a year ago, where I would just have one meal every day between 6 and 7 o'clock, and I felt great. So I think when I come off my fast, because tomorrow at 7 p.m. is when I'll be at my full, you know, 72 hours. I think if I come off my fast, I might just start eating one meal a day in the evening. I don't know. I have to see with how hard I train, you know, training twice a day, especially at the caliber I'm training, you know, not just doing a striking discipline like Muay Thai, but also squatting 500 pounds and cleaning jerks and Byzantinian get-ups and Byzantine get-ups and all this crazy stuff I'm doing with this insane amount of weight. I might need to do more than one meal a day, but maybe it just might be for me, one in the morning, one in the evening. because we're Cruspid something. What are we? Is it Bicruspids? But like Crusp, we're Cruspid City and Crusp, we're Bicruspid or something like that, which means we're active. Humans are most active in the morning and the evening. That's why a lot of cultures work in the mornings and the evenings, but not in the afternoon. They have their afternoon siesta where they're off for a couple of hours. I don't think we're supposed to work through a full day. Because I know me, I'm on point in the morning and I'm on point in the evening. I'm in the middle of the day between like 10 and 2. I'm sleepy. And even if I'm not sleepy, I'm not as sharp as I usually am. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I just think our modern way of living is such dog shit. Wake up to an alarm. And dude, it starts with school. That's the thing. My girls are so blessed because they'll never be woken up by an alarm. I'm not waking my kids up to ship them off to some gray box for 8 hours a day. Y'all are crazy. Y'all are still putting your kids in school. Blows my mind that people are still sending their kids to school. Oh, so they're going to be healthy and well-adjusted. Oh, yeah, send your kids to school so they can come out gay, Ritalin, addicted communists. Yeah, that's healthy and well-adjusted, right? Dude, the family I know up here, their name's the Rogers. They've got like 6 kids now. Their kids are amazing. Amazing. So polite. Great personalities. Very respectful. Involved in all kinds of athletics. And just, they're amazing kids. They're homeschooled. They're 10 times better than these little rodents coming out of the public education system. You know? 10 times better. I don't know. I wouldn't be sending my kids to school if I were you. I wouldn't be doing it. But my kids will never, never be sent to a public school. They'll never have to wake up to an alarm. It's not normal. You know what I mean? It's not normal at all. I think you should wake up when you wake up. But if you're unhealthy and you're on a stupid sleep schedule where you're staying up until 11, 12 o'clock every night, you're eating like shit, you're eating late into the night. Yo, you got to stop eating after 7 o'clock, dude. I guarantee you if you're a big old fat ass and you're listening to me right now, you're eating after 7. You're eating later in the day. And the excuse is, well, during the day, I don't have time to... Yeah, you do. Meal prep. Oh, I can't because it's hard. Well, you're going to deal with a lot of hard things in regards to your health. You're going to deal with a lot of hard things in regards to your health later on down the line if you don't start to reel it in now. I just look around at everybody and it's like, you know, people look at me and they have no idea. You know, I'm struggling right now. I haven't eaten in 40 hours. You know, I'm starving. You know, but I look at my, you can feel my energy levels. You can feel my intensity. You can feel, who do you think is better off? Me starving for 40 hours or this guy in the car next to me that probably just had a Dunkin' Donut sandwich and a sugar-laden coffee, dragging his ass to his 9-to-5 so he can make $65,000 a year and never be able to retire. Like, at what point are you going to start to break the mold? At what point are you going to start to challenge yourself and step outside the box? Like, I love to suffer. I absolutely love suffering. I did my cold plunge this morning and it was colder than normal because I'm hungry. So I'm hungry and now I'm cold. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's nobody else out there doing this. And it's not like being hungry and cold is going to make you a millionaire. But they're not doing a lot of the other things that I'm doing too. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you can handle difficult things like that, you can handle what is life going to throw at me today that I won't be able to overcome? What? I love living a life that's offensive to other people. I mean, I've got some dedicated Hall of Fame meat riding haters out there that every single day concern themselves with my existence. Every day. Every day. Every day I wake up and I go to my restricted Instagram messages and I've got at least 3 to 4 people tagging me, posting pictures of me, talking about me, doing this, doing that, writing articles, all this shit. Dude, I've been, and it's because my existence is an affront to these people. They want to take me out of the game so bad, but they can't because there's nothing that you can do to me. There's nothing. I've told y'all a million times, outside of coming up behind me and putting a bullet in the back of my head, there's nothing you can do to me. I have and will continue to find ways to win. Despite all the odds, despite the circumstances, despite anything, I will find a way to win. And the reason why I'm able to consistently keep winning is because I'm able to put myself through things that are difficult. Again, I'm not trying to be egotistical. I'm just telling you that that's just, it's just a fact. It's just a fact. So you could either impose difficulty on yourself, or life will impose it on you, and life will break you. Life will break you. So I want you to think about this today. I encourage you to do a fast. You know, to talk with your medical professional first. Talk with your doctor first. Gotta make sure your doctor, your stupid fat, dry skin doctor knows. This isn't medical advice, blah, blah, blah. All that other stuff. All right, love you guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye.